Well, I was born and raised in this church. All my life, I've just known you, my brothers and sisters. And I have gotten to know a bunch of different personalities. And I was just thinking about some of those personalities, and I was thinking of Sister Angela Wheaton. Sister Angela, at the close of her days, was over here in the hospital. I didn't do it. It's on. It's on. The orange slide is on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So I've gotten to know some old folks, and they have done gone and went over the horizon. One of them I'm thinking of is Angela Wheaton. She was over here in the rest home dying. She'd been a servant and a wife of a servant most of her life. She's at the close of her days, and I'm sitting there beside her, and I asked her, and I said, "Angela, what are you thinking?" She said, "I hear the call of yonder calling me over. I can feel and I can hear the call of Jesus to come back home." That stays with you. Brother Nicholas Denham, man that was in his company picnic of some sort right here, and this guy comes by there and he says, "I got cigarettes and I got alcohol. What do you want?" I said, "I don't want either one of them." "Well, what do you do to smell like a man?" He was a man that didn't care. But Nicholas Denham was a guy that was in the Air Force, the old Air Force. He's flying a squadron of planes. They're looking on the outside for submarines. They went out and they've been gone for a long time. The commander says, "You know, those men ought to be back by now. Who's the leader?" "Well, it would be Nicholas Denham. They'll be back." Lauren Bryant, personality in my heart. Lauren Bryant, he's in solitary confinement in a prison. He's in the war. They caught him, they put him in solitary confinement, and they tortured him. He's sitting there in that tiny cell right here, wet and dank and filthy. And an angel comes and gives him the communion. We got a heritage. We've got things that have happened in this little congregation. God has shown himself and has shown himself, and we hear the testimonies and we've heard the testimonies, and we're expecting those testimonies of what God does to save and to lift up his children, speak to his children. This right here is the Great Commission. That Great Commission, as we understand, is found in the latter part of the Bible, Matthew 28. And in that section there, the Great Commission is, Jesus, in my opinion right here, is collecting all the highlights. Brings all the highlights of what he's been teaching his disciples that follow him. Brought them all together, and this is what he said. This is Jesus, the Lord. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He told the disciples right here that they've got a job to do, and that's to go out into the world and start teaching the nations. Teaching them what? "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." You're going to teach them about Jesus. You're going to teach them about how to live and how to be and how to obey. And they're going to get baptized. The Great Commission set forth by Jesus right here says and claims that you've got to be baptized. And so teach that. Teach them how to live, how to be, and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Teaching them to observe all things. They have got to do something. They have got to teach them to observe. Teach them this is what the gospel is about. You need to learn it, and you need to practice it, and you need to go forth with it. That's the Great Commission. That's this. All right. Now I want to talk a little bit about grace. The Book of Mormon, which we love, the Book of Mormon is an added witness to the Word of God. The Book of Mormon says this, "For we know, we understand, we comprehend, for we know that it is by grace that you're saved after all we can do." The world doesn't like that last part, after all we can do. Romans 11:6 says, "And if by grace, then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace, but if it be works, then it is no more grace." All that has to say is this works right here is no more works. That's the works that mankind try to do to show for some form of religiosity. That's the works right here that goes out there. I want you all to see right here that I'm helping that old lady across the street. I want you to know right here that I've given $500 into the treasury right here. I want you to know that. Those are the works, and those works are forbidden right here. We're not to have those kind of works. We're to have the works of obedience. And that's what I'm going to declare to you today. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. What I'm going to try to do right here is I'm talking about grace, but I'm talking about you. And we're going to see where we fit in this. We're going to see what God's plan may be. Acts 5:32, "And we are witnesses of these things." We saw this. We comprehended. We could see what was going on. Nobody told us this. We're not fooled. We're not lying. This is the way that it is. "We are witnesses of these things, so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them," that what? That's a bad word. That's considered a work by the rest of the world right here. The Bible and the Book of Mormon consider it, this is a responsibility. This is what a follower of the Lamb does. He heeds and he listens to what Jesus is about to tell him and cause him to do, and he's going to perform it, and he's going to go that direction. "Given to them that obey him." Obedience is not incidental. Obedience is not something that we just dismiss and say, I feel like it today, but tomorrow I'm going to be disobedient. Obedience right here, grace is given to those that are obedient. There is something that they are beckoned to do by the Spirit of grace, by Jesus saying that he wants them to come and to obey him. This is an example of folks right here who did that. They know that. We've got to do it. We heard the word. We heard that you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized with water. You got to come under grace. You got to be baptized with the Spirit. This is what you have to do. This is what the Christian does. This is what we all must do. And so here they are in this picture here, the Leon Yates and Roger Kahn getting baptized. Why is he getting baptized? Because he was told to get baptized. Now I want to say this right here. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water," born of water. You know what the world says that is? I'm going to try to say this without laughing. This is a command. And the command is, "Woman, I command you to give forth a baby. Baby, I command you to come out. You must be born of water. You are born of water if you come out of that woman's womb." How ridiculous is that? This is what they did. It was told to be born of water and of the Spirit. They were born of water, and so they get in the water fount. They get in the creek. They get in the ocean right here. They get water baptized. Who did it? Jesus did it. John the Baptist was the giver of doing that. That's what we must do right here, is that we are accepting what God has told us to do, and we're going to do that. They that do that, born of water and the Spirit, if you don't do it, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Hebrews 5:9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that do" what? Salvation is connected to your obedience. If you're disobedient, if you're not following the Lamb of God, if you're not doing it, if you're fudging, if you're backsliding, if you're sliding around trying to choose your own path right here, you can't get saved. But we say right here, it's grace after all that you can do. It's grace after obeying him, it's grace after being baptized, it's grace doing all the things that he wants you to do. That's where the grace comes. The grace comes upon you. You got the power of God. You got that ticket that goes to heaven if you stay in the faith right here and you believe all that. If you're obedient, you keep his commandments, the will of God right here, that is your grace that's realized in some future date, just like Angela Wheaton did. It was calling her, and she went over on the other side. Acts 2:37. Now, I'm hoping that when I read some of this and when I talk about it, that you can see there's something for maybe you can do. Is there something here that you need to grab hold of? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. I mean, there's God come in there, and he stirred things up. As he stirred things up, man and a woman right here is walking down the pathway of life, and he's stirred up, and he's thinking, I've got to do something. There's got to be something that I can do. What is it that I can do? And so, and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, Jesus, through Paul and Peter right here, is going to tell them what they need to do. And what they need to do is repent. I remember I was talking to Becky some time ago, and she's got a girlfriend who's an evangelical. This evangelical woman right here, she announced to Becky, she said, Becky, I just led a man to Christ. I led him to the sinner's prayer right here, and boy, he's in like Flint. He has been saved. Becky said, did he repent? Well, I never thought about that. Says it right here. Part of the salvation package right here is repentance. You can't, the way I look at life is that we're here and here's heaven. Up in heaven are the crystal angels and the throne of God and God himself and all the beauty and the pageantry of heaven right here. Peace and love and righteousness is what happens there in heaven. They don't want any unrepentant soul up there. We don't want him. We kicked him out one time in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. We don't want them back here. We want those who have repented and have been washed clean. They're right. What would be the natural question? What? Say it. Yeah, how do you do that? Should you do that? Have you done it? Does anybody here in this room, or you're sitting there in your pew, and you're thinking and reviewing in your own life right here, that's something I do. I ain't quit it yet. I like to quit it. I'm on my way to quitting it right here, but I haven't quit it yet. You need to repent. If you've got sin in your life, you know what it is? It's going to keep you out of heaven unless you repent. You've got to examine yourself by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, the rest in you. You have got something that you've got to do, and that's to repent. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. There again. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That comes together. That repenting and baptism right here comes together with the grace. And the grace right here is going to see you safely on the other side. But you got to be doing these things that are required of you to do. Now here's a scripture that it ought to scare the wits out of you. Have you got anybody that you know that you just despise? Have you got anybody that you know this, that, you know, I every time I see him, I read about him in the newspaper, every time that I think about him and I pass by right here, I can't forgive that guy. I'm not going to forgive him. I don't care what anybody says right here, it's not nice, but I can't do it and I won't do it. It's too hard to do it. And what does Jesus say here? This is what he's saying. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I know in our history, I know that there's been some tumult. I have discovered that some of that tumult still exists. We need to look at that scripture again. That needs to be considered. Or it may be a neighbor, or it may be your friend, or maybe your husband, or your wife, or your child. We have got to forgive one another. We got a forgiving heart. God's going to forgive us. If we don't forgive others right here, the same returns back on us. He's not going to forgive us. For after they have escaped, this is 2 Peter 2:20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they have come into the saving faith. After they have escaped the pollutions, they were in the terrible stuff. They were doing terrible things. They had terrible things in their home. They had terrible things with their friends and their work and wherever they went and out with the boys and the bowling alley, whatever they did right here. They escaped it. They repented. They were delivered from it. They're away from that. They're no longer under bondage right here unless escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled. Remember reading the story about the restoration. This girl was reported to be possessed of the devil, and she was. And one of the ministers went over there and was asked to do that. He says, can you lay hands on her and rebuke that evil spirit? And this man said, I will. But I lay my hands on her. I want you to know that he's talking to the girl. I want you to know you can't go back to the dance halls. You got to be away from that. Don't do that. Don't go back there again right here. I'll tell you, he's going to come back. Don't do that. Do you believe that? She said, yes. Laid hands on her, and it was extracted. That spirit that threw her down the stairs and threw her out the window and threw her down on the ground, that spirit right here that was just action, just terrible right here, was excised from her, was out. 1 year later, her father called back up and says, she's back at it again. And she returned to those things that God had instructed her to stay away from. That's what that's talking about right there. They again are tangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. But it happened to them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. This world that we're living in majors on corruption and filth. If you don't know that, you need to know that. And it's everywhere, and it has come into the church. We have got to back away. We've got to, by the power of God, we've got to exercise the power of God unto deliverance. We need to be praying for one another for this awful influence that's come on the world. Matthew 7:19, this is Jesus talking. Every tree, how many trees? Every tree, all the trees. Any tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That's what wicked, evil, slothful, ugly fruit looks like. You wouldn't eat that if you were forced to. And that branch is taken by the good gardener right here and the good arborist, and he clips that off and he throws it in the fire. Who did it say? Those that are saved or those that are unsaved? It's talking about every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? What decisions have you made that is your part? This is what you do. I remember my mother would say, she'd start to go out the door with a casserole right here, and Dad asked her, said, where are you going, Doris? She says, I'm doing my thing. She's going to give that little casserole to some old neighbor up the street. I'm doing what God led me to do. What are you doing? What can you do and have done and are sharing with other people? What is it that you are an advantage to the kingdom of God? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you this kind of fruit that I'm looking at? I wouldn't touch that. I'd throw that in the trash can. Let the raccoons eat it right here, but nobody with any sense is going to eat that. But if you're bringing forth good fruit, it's commanded to do that. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by the fruits ye shall know them. We know each other. May that knowledge be so fine and so strong and so accurate that we know that you wouldn't do that. We know that that's not your thought. We know that you know how to forgive. You forgave me. You forgave me of some dastardly deed that I did to you, right? You forgave me. I love that. Remember, I was acting stupid, and I had a cookie in my hand. And I had that cookie in my hand right here, And here's a couple, renowned couple, famous, I mean, important people. You know, I come up to them, and I had my cookie in my hand, and I flicked it like this. I don't know why. And the crumbs went all over this girl's nice dress. And it just got real cold, silent right there. And she said, "Randy, I'll forgive that." Man, that was good news. Don't you think it would be good news right here? If you're showing a good fruit and somebody takes a bite of you and it's tasty. It tastes good, it's something that I delight in. Rather than somebody takes a bite of that thing and yuck. I've got a persimmon tree at my house. And we had the English folks stay with us for about a week. From Martin Rosen, I guess is what his name was, Martin Rosen. So he stayed with me and his wife right here. So we took a walk down the driveway. And I was telling him, I said, here in Missouri, in America, I mean, you just reach out and you can just, whatever you touch right here, you can eat it. Well, as an example, that's what we call a persimmon tree. Oh, really? You mean I can take a bite of that? I said, yes, you can. He said, well, I shall. So he took a bite of it and he threw up, spit it on the ground right here. His cheeks got to be 6 inches thick right here. He says, that's the most terrible fruit I ever ate. Well, it's not good fruit. Don't eat good fruit. Let that be a lesson to you. Not everyone, and this is Jesus talking, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. I'm saved. I got a ticket into heaven right here, and it doesn't matter what I do right here. I'm going to try to do good right here, but I'm saved. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. I was tuned into somebody's TV watching a Christian program. And they had this preacher. He comes striding on on the stage right here. I'm not going to do it. I'd love to do this, but I can't do it. And he starts repetitiously saying, Jesus. I'm trying to convey that. And I had to turn the TV off. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. The grace, after all you can do, is the man that is received into heaven, is the man who lives by his word. He lives by the word of Christ. He lives by the Bible and the Book of Mormon. He lives this. And so you can say all day long right here, Jesus, but it don't mean a thing. In fact, it's rather offensive. Unless you mean it in your heart. These are the days that we need to be looking at that, because there is the numbers going on. Jesus, I believe, is counting his children. He's gathering together his flock. Will we be in that flock? Will you have repented of your sins? You've been baptized. You turned over to the Lord. You got away from all that stuff that young people and old people look at right here. You got rid of that stuff. It's like Brother Denham right here down there, I think it was Brother Denham told the story of this woman who was possessed by all kind of evil magazines and all kind of devil worshipery and so forth. She had that until the Lord come knocking. When the Lord come knocking right here, she repented, and what did she do? She shoveled it all out there and burned it. May you have the courage and have the desire to burn whatever is offensive to Almighty God and get rid of it, because he's looking for some saints. He's looking for those that are true sons and daughters. He's looking for somebody who repents and obeys and does the right thing, serves the Lord. They are listening to another commander, and that commander is Jesus. If you love me, keep my commandments. Of course, there's an example of the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down from the mountain. And we're still mostly under some of this. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, you know, thou shalt not steal, and so forth. I watched a program for this Christian man who was doing his own inventory. He was asking people on the street if they're a sinner or not. So this gal comes up and he says, he says, can I ask you some questions? Oh, yeah, I'll answer any question you got. Okay. Are you a sinner? No. Oh, you're not a sinner. Okay. Do you Have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah. Have you ever borne false witness to anybody? Yeah. Have you ever fornicated? Yeah. You're a sinner. What this does right here, that he that keeps my commandments, whatever the Word of God portrays in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, in the Ten Commandments, however you want to look at it right here, if you love me, you're going to beat this thing. You're going to defeat the devil that's come into your life. You're going to do something, you're animated, you're filled with the Spirit of God, and I am going to overcome this. I remember Norman Warfield. Norman Warfield was a smoker. He told the story himself. He was a smoker right here, and he could not beat that. Finally, he took his cigarettes and threw them in the trash can, and he walked away with a solemn promise to his God right here that I'm not going to touch it. And he didn't. And he died without being addicted to cigarettes. I met a gal, she was actually a member of our church a long time ago. She said, Randy, can you come over to my house and pray for me to get over this addiction of smoking? I'm not saying smoking is the biggest high-level sin in the world right here, but it's an example. So I said, yeah, I'll be over. So I come on over there, and I said, now your grief and your problem is that you can't get over smoking. That's right. I can't do it right here. Can you pray to Jesus? Okay, yeah, I'd like to do that. Can I ask one thing first? What was that? Give me your carton of cigarettes. No! She couldn't do it. Norman could do that. I was going to say about Norman also, about those people that had an effect on my life. I attended Norman's death, along with several of you here. Can you hear me, Jenny? Jennifer Olden, can you? I thought you couldn't hear me. He's dying in a hospital bed. He's dying. The love of the church gathered there to be with him when he died, and he launched and went over yonder. And I'll never forget it. He's laying there in bed, and he can't hardly talk, but he's pointing the finger. I remember Don Grimm, especially. Don, are you here? I said, Don, I see you over yonder. Full of faith, full of expectation that he's repented, and that he turned away from those things that are offensive to God. And I believe in that little public appearance right here is that he's in heaven, or he's in paradise as we look at it. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? I've got faith, but I haven't done anything about it. Is that possible? Can you say, I got the faith of the Bible and the Book of Mormon. I got the faith of Jesus. I got the faith right here. And if there's nothing that you're doing, can faith save you? That's the question. It can't save you. There's a whole lot of people that don't believe that. There's a whole lot of folks right here that faith and the working of the Spirit right here, plus nothing. Grace plus nothing. That's what they think right here. And so he's making the point here. James is the brother of Jesus. What he's making that point right here says, can you have one without the other? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. The mandate of God in heaven right here is your faith. You come here and you're in the faith of Jesus Christ. You come here to this reunion. You came here to hear the Word of God for the intent of coming up higher. For the intent to, if there's sin in your life, to repent. For some young people or some old folks right here that have not been baptized. I read some survey somewhere, the older you get, the harder it is to ask for baptism. That's the will of God. That's what he's demanding of us. And if we want to have full expectation to get together with him right there, we've got to repent. We've got to turn away. We've got to burn that rubbish. We've got to live what's right. We've got to live by the Lord. So faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It don't help you at all. I had a guy that I worked with, and he had a bunch of crowd of truck drivers around him. He said, I don't know where you're going right here. I want to tell you that I'm going to heaven. And I thought, boy, that proud look, that proud attitude right here, you're probably going to be the last of us going to heaven. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's what that looks like. That's about as good a picture as I can find right there of what love looks like. I was here in this church about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. He's here. I'm going to talk about the he. I'm not going to mention his name. He's here. This homeless guy come in there, and it was cold out, and he had rags. I can't remember if he had shoes on or not. But he come in there, you know, and he was a pitiful case. He says, and it's cold out there. He says, you probably can't really help me right here, but, you know, can I stay in here and be warm just a little bit? His brother took off his jacket and gave it to him. I saw it. I saw what it looks like. I felt what it looks like. And that brother right here, that homeless guy, had a smile on his face, and he knew that somebody come to visit like an angel. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. The commandment, the will of God, is that we look in on each other. The will of God is that we love one another. If you find that you don't love somebody here, you got some work to be done. You got to be starting to do something. Because love is what God wants. He's all about love. This is shortest sermon I've ever preached, right? For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. How long? To the end. That's where it's at. It's not a temporary thing. We're on a marathon. We're running and we're keeping our speed up. We're not giving up. We're not falling down. We're not belly aching. We're not saying it can't be done. I can't do it. I'm done. But we keep on chugging. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt said right here, he said, there's nothing wrong with being smashed to the ground. What's wrong is not getting back up. And that's what the story of our lives is. We are under threat by the enemy, but we're under grace by Jesus. And he gives us the grace, gives us the power to be able to endure to the end. That's what he wants. He wants his children to endure to the end. I can't take it. I'm giving up. I said, well, I'm sorry, you're on the wrong team. But what he's taking right here, and we've seen it. We see people that we know right here. There's one right now in the hospital, Larry Beam. Larry Beam, I don't know if I've had any visitors right here. David Rudd, I think, ministered to him. Probably a couple of you have. It ought to be church there at Larry Beam in the hospital. It ought to be wherever you see somebody likely afflicted or down or depressed and they got nowhere to go, you need to strengthen them with your arms of righteousness. Steadfast to the end, all the way. The Bible, and this is Jesus talking right here, the Bible is saying right here, I come quickly. And I talk to my wife, Becky, all the time. And I say, am I as old as I say I am? I'm not telling you how old I am. Am I that old? She says, yes, Randy, you are, and you're going to be a year older here next month. Time has fled by. I was a little boy just a couple of weeks ago. I'm just a little guy right here that, you know, I got all the time in the world, and time has passed by. And I'm looking at a bunch of people about my age. I'm looking at people right here, and we're feeling the call of Jesus. He's calling us. how good it is if we stay underneath that calling. How good it is that we actually believe this. I think it was Jay Mosier. And I told him, I said, you know, I told Jay this. I said, it's every day right here, and I say, another day gone, another day gone. And Jay said, another day closer. I thought, that sounds better. And that's where we're at. Every day in your life, you have tried to serve the Lord, you did all the things that you can do that are mandated by God. Are you confidently going in the direction of the King? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter into the through the gates of the city. Blessed are they who do his commandments. Book of Mormon says that, plain and clear right here. It's grace after all that you can do. This is how Jesus ends it in the Bible. He ends it right here, that you do this and you're going to be saved. Blessed are they that do this, to his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. One other scripture. If you know anything about Paul, and they ought to make a movie about Paul. I don't recommend movies right here. Boy, that'd be a good one. Paul spent a whole lot of time down in the depths of the sea. Paul has fought with lions in the Colosseum. Paul has ruthlessly taken rocks to the head and to the body and stoned nearly to death. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I stayed faithful throughout my life. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. What is the result of a lifetime of fighting and getting up and finishing right and keeping the faith? What is the result of that is would be that word henceforth. The result of your struggling in the flesh, the result of your service to God and your efforts to promote the kingdom of God, those efforts right here are going to be for all those that love his appearing, that love the Lord Jesus, that stayed with the faith, that kept up until the end. God bless you. I hope I haven't offended anybody right here, but I want to tell you that I have this. There's a scripture that talks about watchers on the wall, watchmen on the wall. I just want to say this right here. You need to be watching, because there's somebody gaining on us. There's some things that are happening right here. You need to be watching. You need to be ready. You need to know your scriptures. You need to know that little Book of Mormon right here is divine by God. It's the second witness, and it explains things that just you might not understand any other way. God bless you.